Hey mamas, welcome to Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. We share incredible stories, tips, and breastfeeding ideas to help on your journey. I'm your host, Bethany Laverne, a lactation consultant and speech therapist who helps mamas with breastfeeding. Not all breastfeeding stories are the same, and we dive into those topics. Welcome back to Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. Today I have with me Kelsey from Nested Sleep. We're so excited to have you today. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. So I am Kelsey Alford. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner and owner of Nested Sleep. I am a sleep consultant and a certified positive discipline parent educator and a mom of two. My kiddos are 5 and 7. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be here, talk about breastfeeding, sleep, and all the things.
Yeah. So of course I'm interested in your breastfeeding story. So why don't we jump into breastfeeding first? How did your journeys go?
Sounds great. So being a pediatric nurse practitioner, I did have like some training in the knowledge of breastfeeding. Certainly all medical providers are going to have a different level of understanding of breastfeeding. Certainly was not to the level of a lactation consultant by any means, but I did have an understanding and enough of an understanding that I also knew that I wanted to learn more because I wanted to set myself up for as best success that I have. So I should know the books that I did read, but I did read some books and I took the Bradley Method birthing class, which they do spend some time talking about breastfeeding within that childbirth education class too. So it definitely was something I tried to prepare for ahead of time as best you can. You don't know your baby. You don't know what that situation is going to be like, but that was good. So while my birth experience didn't exactly pan out in the way, it was still a beautiful birth experience, but I ended up with a C-section. So I didn't have like the immediate breastfeeding experience maybe that I would have wanted, but our connection, my son and I, our breastfeeding relationship was very good. So he latched right away. I didn't have any pain. I have a lot of milk production. That was not a problem. I probably had a little bit of an oversupply, but it was evened out and it worked out. He gained weight right away. So it was really, there was not a lot of stress that I know that so many moms do have. So I was very grateful for that. So with my son, I was still working full time as a nurse practitioner in an office. So I had maternity leave. I was off for him for about 3 months and then I went back to work. And it happened a little bit with him, and I'll talk with my daughter too, but there was definitely like we gave a couple bottles early on. And then I was like, okay, yeah, you can take a bottle. So I'm not going to like pump and worry about that throughout the rest of my maternity leave. And then like come getting ready to go back to work. And he was like, I'm not interested in taking bottles whatsoever. And so it was definitely a little bit of cold turkey. Thankfully, my husband had paternity leave for the following 3 months, which was wonderful. And so he was able to bring my son to where I worked for like lunch, and I would be able to nurse him for lunch sometimes. But eventually he figured out the bottle situation and we got that smoothed out. So then I nursed him until about 15 months. And then we started trying to get pregnant for our second. And so I weaned him, not always needed, but that was kind of like I wanted my own body back for a short period of time. And then we got pregnant very easily with my daughter. Was not expected because we had a couple losses and early on with my son. So I was like, okay, this is probably going to take a while. It did not. So yeah, got pregnant right away. And then when I had her, again, like really good breastfeeding relationship. And one thing that even providers, you know, notice now is that I was told right at birth that my daughter had a strong tongue tie. And so I was like very open to, you know, getting it, you know, repaired, revised, you know, what was needed down the line. But she had a wonderful nursing relationship. She was gaining weight. Like there wasn't really a need. And now she's 5 and she has, you know, she's doing great with speech and there's no issues. So I think one thing like my pediatrician always says is like, you don't have to always fix the tongue ties. Like it is important to look at that, but it doesn't always automatically cause nursing problems, which I've found interesting. So at least for our relationship. And she did not take a bottle either, but I was at home longer with her. And so because of that, I didn't find the need as much to pump and have a bottle. It was just a very easy process to nurse her. So I nursed her until about 18 months. And then she probably would have gone until she was five, but I was like, yeah, I'm ready to have my body back. And we had a wonderful nursing relationship. And so, I was very, very satisfied with how everything went, with my nursing relationship with my babies. And they were also good sleepers. So I was very happy to not have just one or the other there.
Yeah. Oh, so many good things. So many good things. So with the bottle, is there a certain, like, how did you get over that barrier? You know, did he only take like the Dr. Brown, or did you buy all 1,000 types of bottles?
So many, right? We definitely like didn't put that many on our registry. We just like went with like one or two. And then we definitely tried quite a few. And then even when my daughter like tried quite a few more, I'm like, I keep being like, there needs to be more. And you would probably know if they now sell like a pack of like a variety pack, essentially, of bottles, because you really don't know, you know, what your child is going to take. But with my son, I think ultimately it was just he was hungry and he like needed, like, he's like, okay, well, this is the opportunity. I'm going to take a bottle. So it really didn't come down to like a specific one that worked. It was more that he needed to be hungry enough to, you know, take a bottle. And definitely having me around was harder, both on him and on me. So for me, like having my husband try to give him the bottles when I was at work and I was not home, was a much more successful, trial of that.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of just a trial pack of all different types of nipples, just because they're made by so many different companies.
True.
And so I don't really see them working together, in all honesty, right? But however, I know the lactation group I went to, the lactation consultant had a whole bunch of nipples to try. So you might want to reach out to people in your area. Of course, they should. Even though she sterilized them, I know people would go home, recommend re-sterilize them, boil them before using them again and giving them to your baby, especially if they've sat for a while. I mean, she had
that
them like
sense.
In a box and stuff. But then that would be the cheap, easy way to be like, oh, they really like the Dr. Brown. They really like the Tomi TP.
Right.
Because all of our babies are very different. I highly recommend the Dr. Brown, especially if you're going to continue on your breastfeeding journey on the slow flow.
Yes.
Even though it doesn't look like a nipple, that is quite a few of the new things. Those actually aren't that great for you. The Dr. Brown is one of the best ones with the shape of it, that it's actually getting back to their soft palate.
Right.
So in your mouth, you got the hard palate, then you got the soft palate. Go ahead, stick your tongue up there. You're curious now, and find out. And so it needs to go back to your soft palate, and not them munching on it in the front. I also always recommend for moms, you never need to turn up the pace of your nipple, because your breast will never turn up the pace just because they got older. So if you want them to still continue to breastfeed and be happy with that, always keep them on a slow flow. That is one of my biggest tips I give mamas.
That so. Makes a lot of sense. And yes, like with the, you know, I'm sure you've seen so many of like the newer bottles that the nipples are like, oh, shaped to be more like the breast. But to your point, like they are so short that they are not really hitting in the right spot so many of the times.
Yeah. So I don't really recommend the ones that look like a breast, especially because it's supposed to be shaped like your breasts, like rounded. I do, like, in a sense, like that visually. It's nice for the baby to more hold on to. But again, the, like you said, the nipple's so short, they aren't getting it far enough back into their mouth
Right.
that they're going to push it out a lot and not be happy with that. So that's my
That
disclaimer
makes a
there.
lot of sense.
So I do want to go back to your tongue tie. You made a fantastic point because I do call myself a tongue tie expert. I've gotten a lot of education on it, especially since our second son had a tongue tie, and we went through two revisions, which I never wish on any mama. That's why I'm sitting here. But the perfect point you made was don't release every tongue tie. I know that's weird that I just said that, right? You would think I would say release all of them. No, that's not the case. We're looking at function. What you just talked about, function, is what we need to see. So your daughter was breastfeeding fine. That's great. I bet she started solids just fine. She wasn't gagging on you. She wasn't spitting up. She wasn't vomiting. I bet she wasn't drooling. Like, my son was drooling constantly, and he could not keep his mouth shut. Okay, because he couldn't swallow all the liquids in
That
his mouth. And
action.
it's hard, exactly. It's hard to swallow if your tongue's not moving properly to move all of that extra saliva backwards. And so it's going to come out of the front of your mouth. You're going to have all that tension. And you made a great point as the speech therapist. She didn't have any problems with her articulation. One of the biggest things I see are L's, because everyone, let's make an L, right? If you say the word low, your tongue should go right behind your teeth. If it is not touching behind your teeth, you aren't going to be able to say it. Your tongue's pulling back into a W. Or with an R, same thing. Your tongue cannot get high enough and pulled back far enough because the tongue is so tight and tethered down. So I love exactly what you just said with that. We are looking at function. And so each step of the way, so maybe your breastfeeding journey goes well, but maybe the next step, it is not going well. And so you need to revise when they're a toddler. You need to revise when they're 7 or 9. Some of the kids I see in high school, I'm like, I think you have a tongue tie, right? When I get in there and do an oral motor exam, I'm like, no wonder you can't say an R and everything's wabbit. Is because we need to get that tongue tie fixed. And it is crazy to listen to my students. Usually they're dismissed off my caseload within 1 to 2 months because they can start saying that R because they can pull their tongue back. And then they say, I had one kid tell me specifically, I didn't know it wasn't supposed to hurt when I yawned.
So interesting.
But how are you supposed to tell a kid that exactly? And so after it was revised, he had no idea. Or I had, this was actually an adult. He's in his 30s when he got his tongue tie revised. And he said, I always thought I didn't like steak. I didn't like steak because it was too chewy and I didn't realize how tight my tongue was to move the steak around my mouth. I love steak now.
What a review.
Exactly. Yeah.
But so true. I mean, there's all those different points of development that you're going to want to look at and assess the child, right? Like the baby, the child. It's not just like reading the paper and looking at data and being like, okay, I guess we're gonna do it. Like everyone's doing it now. You really have to look at the function and the child and how things are going, how they're coping. And certainly, it's good to have those options there. It's always good to have those options and more research happening. And that's all amazing things, but you do always want to look at the child.
Absolutely. So, what is one thing you wish you would have known about breastfeeding before you started your journey?
One thing that I wish that I would have known, I think I did not know to practice enough with the bottles. That was like, I'm like, okay, like, a week in or something. I'm like, breastfeeding's going well. Let's try to give him a bottle. Went well. And then I like put it to the side and didn't really do it again. But I think if I would have known that that would have, helped along the way a little bit. I don't think at the time, I don't think I knew about the slow flow nipples either. I really don't think that was something that was mentioned enough. So I think that, could be considered too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because some moms get worried that they aren't taking the bottle And then this hurts my heart. They take scissors to the nipple. Please never take scissors to
Oh.
the nipple to like make a bigger cut for to increase the speed of it, because then we're drowning our babies. They aren't doing the correct suck, swallow, breathe is what we say. And so
Right.
it should be a 1-1-1 suck, swallow, breathe. And instead, they might be like gulping, 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 and then they're gasping for air, mom. So if that's happening, that is not great either. So please never cut the nipple on your.
Oh man. But you could see, I could see like, where people get to that, but yeah, not
Yeah,
good.
absolutely.
Not good.
So another point you wanted to make, or that you made, was I didn't know how often to be offering the bottles. Another thing that I think is always great is somebody else offering the bottles. Mamas, they usually will not take it from you. They need to take, because they can smell your milk. They're right there next to your breast. And they're like, even though there's a shirt
The
on, I'm going to
source, the
claw that
source.
shirt off. I know it's under there. You aren't kidding me here,
Yes.
right? And so it's good for maybe like grandma to come over, your husband or partner, or there's always a ton of old ladies that would be more than happy to come out with your baby and feed them a bottle,
So
right?
true.
So
So true.
yeah, but also, mamas, I want to let you know I've come out with a new program. It's called Back to Work. And so I will
Nice.
work with you. We do a one-on-one session and we talk about setting you up for success going back to work, what that looks like, offering your baby a bottle, what you should take to work, what you need, the sterilizing process, how to store your milk while you're at work. Even that is against the law to pump in a bathroom. Your employer has to offer you a space. You do not have to pump in a stall. You don't have to pump in like the janitor's closet with chemicals around you, right? Like it needs to be a good environment. And so work with me on that. And then once you go back to work, you get access to me for 30 days and I will work with you one-on-one. You can ask me all your questions going back to work, or even say like, today's my first day. I'm crying on my way to work. I just don't know if I can do it, right? And so I'm here to support you, give you motivation, ask me all the breastfeeding and pumping questions to set you up for success going back to work. So I will drop that
What a
link
great
below.
program.
Thank you. Yeah, I just feel like mamas really need it. We get so anxious about going back to work and we're asked to go back to work so quickly. I just want to make sure mamas are set up for success.
I love that. I love that.
So what is your favorite breastfeeding product?
One of my favorite breastfeeding products is related to breastfeeding and sleep, because you absolutely can have sleep and a good breastfeeding relationship, because I think a lot of moms assumes that it's just one or the other. And I get a lot of toddler clients that come to me because moms were like, oh my gosh, I thought that I had to just like nurse them all night long, like inevitably, or not nurse at all. Like I thought there was just one or the other. So you absolutely can have both. So related to, a product that can help with both is I love the Hatch sound machine, the Hatch Rest. It is basically as a newborn, you can use it as a sound machine within the shared sleep space with the parents. So you'd have, the light that's on there for middle of the night nursing sessions. And then when your child's getting older and they're transitioning into their own room, then they can have the sound machine come with them and keep that sound machine portion. And then when they get up to be toddlers, then they can use it for the toddler clock and the different light systems. So you can use it to be red when it's time for bed and green when it's time to get up and go in the morning. And so it just has all that functionality from newborn through even school age, that you can use that product for.
Yeah, that's so great. We definitely played white noise in my boys' room. And so they started out in our room. And I felt, even after I moved them out of their room, out of our room, I felt like I still needed the noise machine. Like I just loved it to fall asleep with. Or if I woke up in the middle of the night, I still was like, I can't fall asleep without the white noise. Like I feel like as an adult, I became dependent on it. It's quite soothing.
It is quite soothing. And then so many parents too, like when their children transition out of their rooms, they'll hear it on the monitor
Yes.
and be like, so they use it for even longer. And yes, now I have they have a Hatch version that's the adult called the Hatch Restore. And it has guided meditations and a lovely sunrise to wake clock. It's wonderful.
I think I need to invest in that. I do miss, I miss it in our room. So that's pretty awesome. And I just love how it goes with you. So before we jumped on here, I was talking about how we use that with our son, an older version. And it's just so nice, mamas, to be like, if it is not green, you do not come out of your room. So.
Sets those boundaries, which is really important for toddlers and preschoolers to understand what they're supposed to be doing at night.
Yeah. So a big question I have, because I've been at other people's house that have these on, what is the decibel level and how can I determine that? Because I've walked into one of my friend's kids' room and I was like, this is so loud in here. Like, clearly the parents didn't want them to hear them like walking by the door of their TV on, but I just felt like it was way too loud for me and I just felt like engulfed in the noise. So how loud should it be?
In general, and this is the most like up-to-date research, there still needs to be better research on it that is like actually within people's homes. A lot of the research is actually done like in the ICU setting and in the hospital setting. But from what we know in terms of children and babies' ears and what we should have the level at is 50 decibels or less. So you can download on your phone like holding the phone or putting the phone where the crib, in the crib to see like what the decibel level is. But I always like to tell parents that it should be like a running shower. Like you should be able to have a conversation over it. It shouldn't be so loud that you can't talk. And it should be like ideally like 8 feet or more from the crib. It shouldn't be like right near where the child is sleeping. For sure, if it is closer, just because of the space of the room or the setup of the room, to make sure that it is going to be lower because it's closer to them. But those are all things to consider.
No, that's great advice. So, yes, it was way too loud at my friend's house.
You're like, I couldn't hear anything
I couldn't.
or talk.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for coming on today. I love this so much. How can mamas connect with you?
So my website is nestedsleep.com. You can find me on all socials at Nested Sleep. And please reach out if you have any questions about, being able to support both your breastfeeding and good sleep relationship. Reach out. I have a free 15-minute discovery call, then you can book that directly from my website or from Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much if you would share it with another mama or post on social media and tag me. I want to personally thank you for wanting to help other mamas. You got this. I'm rooting for your breastfeeding journey.